have a very nice, atmosphere all the time, and that's very nice. I also want to thank all of you affectionately from my heart. I heard that you prayed for my well-being. Yes, I spent a very difficult night and a very difficult evening before that. But somehow in Vrindavan, you are one moment almost ready to die, and the next moment, shoop, everything is. I mean, I'm not yet 100% well, but functionally well. So, for me, this is a clear proof of the power of your prayers. Thank you very much. It was, I believe, necessary that some Vaishnav Kripa is coming my way. And now, yes, it goes. Fantastic. I would like to now start with my seminar, which, let me say like this, we had a beginning in the Govardhan Valley. But before doing so, I would like to introduce the subject matter. You know, in 70 or 71, in our German BBT, we had a huge anxiety. Macmillan, which had printed Prabhupada's books, wanted to supply a German translation from the English into German and distributed during the Frankfurt Book Fair. And we knew that they didn't have any devotional translators. They were just hired translators and therefore feared that the subtleties of the language, Prabhupada's language, would be just ironed out. So we contacted this huge publishing company and said, oh, we are already working on a translation of the Bhagavad Gita, and it would be your, not for your good advantage, you know, because we bring our book out and then we have an army of book distributors, and soon our book will outsell your book. So in the interest of business, we warn you, don't print the book. Let us do it. And they wrote back, if these are not just words but deeds, if you have a book ready on the Gita and at the Frankfurt Book Fair, we will not proceed to translate, and we will let you have the rights. So this meant we had to go on a translation marathon morning and evening and some of the night, which we did. And it was during this time we were quite in anxiety. You understand the scenario? We wanted to have a copy of the Gita translated by devotees. So in that time, we came to the 15th chapter of the Gita, and around in the middle, there was an information that was so profoundly impactful that somehow it shifted away my anxiety. I was one of three translators who were working on the task, and I was so much in anxiety. But when I read this particular sentence in the Bhagavad Gita, something shifted, and that has remained with me. Prabhupada said, it is actually possible to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. And then in the purport he continued, one should be fascinated by this information. I remember one should be fascinated by this information. Maybe I can ask one of you mobile telephone experts, can you find it, 15th chapter? One should be fascinated by this information. I see Lalita is getting at the task. Fascinated by this information, I'm pretty sure. And back to Godhead. If you type in these, it should direct you. And then please bring your mobile telephone to me and stay here so that I can, because if it has a crash, when I touch it, I can. Before reading this, my main content in my mind was, let's publish the Bhagavad Gita by the time the Frankfurt Book Fair happens. That is in autumn always. Now, in the midst of being on this marathon, I read, one can go back to Godhead, and this is the most in one lifetime, and this is the most fascinating information. And so on. So I was totally captivated. Yes, one should be captivated, not fascinated, by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. For one who is too much attached to this material world, it is very difficult to cut that attachment. But if he takes to Krishna consciousness, there's a chance of gradually becoming detached. Yes. So, I sometimes observe that in our movement we are no longer captivated by attaining the kingdom of God, by becoming liberated from the material world. There are so many other captivating things, you know, with this machine. The whole world of captivation is at my fingertips. I better don't say bad things, otherwise it starts to smoke at the machine. You please reclaim it. It is not in good hands here with me. And what about the next Netflix shows? Or Netflix, or what it's called, shows. There's continuation of what I've started already to look. That is quite captivating. Or what about name, fame, and glory as a Hare Krishna? Oh, that's highly captivating. Or what about travels? That's captivating. What's about the newest ISKCON news? Serve to me hot with a Bengali spicing. I'm speaking of Mayapur. You know, that is highly captivating. And in this way, thinking about reaching the eternal kingdom of God and becoming an associate of Radha and Krishna is sometimes that which is the last thing on our mind. See, my dear devotees, there are three types of devotees. And I think the majority of ISKCON is in the first type. It's conventional devotees who somehow want to make Krishna part of the world. Yes, I live my life, and yes, I put tilak on, and Nowadays, I can wear all types of devotional clothing. I choose my devotional clothing in a most interesting manner. And I pray to Krishna when I'm sick or someone else is sick, and so on. I'm part of this. This is the idea of ordinary religion. You try to make God part of your little world. Try to make him a resident. Then there are committed devotees. Whoop, here the percentage shrinks. These are devotees who try to follow the motto, everything for Krishna, nothing for me. Ooh, this sounds intense. Do you know that this was Prabhupada's motto? Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. How does this sound to a modern devotee like most of you are? Scary, perhaps? These are the committed devotees who understand Sevamrita, the nectar of Seva, is so much better than Lokamrita, the nectar of this world. And then, progressing from the conventional to the committed to the confidential devotees, there are devotees who are captivated by the possibility to return to Krishna. Where are you all? I know the devotee, young devotees will yell now, Hari Bol! And I smile and say, let me ask you in 20 years, where are you? And of what use is this lecture from the earthly Vrindavan to the eternal Vrindavan for you? Is it just one of the many lectures which you will hear? By the way, did you notice all the three lecturers talk about the same thing? Did you notice? Bhujan Prabhu's on the unspeakable journey. Jagatarini about the breaking universal boundaries, Gop Kumar's path back home, back to Godhead. And this particular presentation from the earthly Vrindavan to the eternal Vrindavan. Is it of interest of you? Did you spend your money wisely by coming here? I'm asking a question which is not answered by a quick mouth answer. It requires a heart searching an answer. Do you sometimes think that perhaps this material life is a dream only and you want to wake up in the eternal reality? Or are you so much invested in the dream that it is it's only a concept but not something you engage practically with? My dear devotees, I know because you have prayed for my welfare that you will not be angry with a not totally healthy man at this stage. After all, you prayed, but what do you think about all this? Only the silence, interrupted with a few coughs, answered the inquisitive lecturer. So we will talk about this journey and I hope to convince you that this is better than what the world can offer you. Also the ISKCON, it's part of the ISKCON world, but you know what I mean, the social life in ISKCON world can offer you. And then when you are leaving this seminar, then there will be light in your eyes, a spring in your step. and joy in your voice, and that's my hope. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhutaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivesesha Shonyavani Paskatya Desatarine. Please everyone, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Since Jagatarini Mataji so wonderfully is narrating to us the amazing, breathtaking story of Gop Kumar's journey to the spiritual world, I will skip this because I was yesterday there and will be there today and the other days. I am very, very, very convinced that it is very nicely presented to us in so much detail as to captivate us and make us be present in the narration. So I will not talk about it, but this is the paradigmic, means it is a journey that is for everyone of us, the journey of a soul returning back to Godhead. You can read there of various stations. These stations, by the way, are not for everyone. It's not that all of you will first go to the heavenly planets, then to the planets where the great universal rishis are situated, and then Brahma Loka and the Brahman and Vaikuntha planets and so on and so forth. We will hear all about this from Jagatarini. It's not that you will go through all these stations before you go back to Godhead. But what is the same is the eagerness which develops in Gop Kumar. You will become very eager to go back home, back to Godhead. And the practices which you take, because we are in a certain lineage, in the Gaudiya lineages, in which you need to bring to perfection. That's where it's the paradigmic story for you, not in the stations which you make. There is a verse, it is, by the way, chanted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It comes as far as I remember, also in Prabhupada's books, but it is quoted all over the spiritual sampradayas, which brings a very important principle to the foreground. Yadrishi bhavanayasya siddhir bhavati tadrishi. The type of perfection one attains depends on the bhavana, the thought one has while engaged in spiritual practice. For instance, if I chant my Gopal mantra, and I think while I chant my Gopal mantras about how I can get a very successful grihastha life. Why do you laugh? This is philosophy. I will get it. If I chant the Gopal mantra and I think of it, I think of becoming healthy, I will obtain health. What is your bhavana, your thought, while you engage in your spiritual practice? That type of perfection you will get. If you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I mean, here is no one, I'm not addressing anyone in the crowd, and you want to be famous as a kirtaniya, if you have that bhavana, you will get it. If it is there. Have you noted that many of our devotees are very rich? Villas? No, yes. Lalita has not noted. Your father is not very rich because... But no, there's a lot of wealth in the movement. A lot of wealth is coming to us. Perhaps we were thinking of this while we engaged in devotional practice. No? You will get what you are meditating in your spiritual practice. Hare Krishna. If there's a Mataji who chants and thinks, good fresh boy, good fresh boy, good fresh boy, she will get a good fresh boy. Yes. But also on a deeper level, this is now on a polemic and highly disturbing level, I want to go to a deeper level now with you. When I do my practice of chanting and I do not know the goal of my spiritual practice, I do not know Prayojana Tattva, I do not know the Satya, I will not get there. Get to what I back to Godhead, for instance. No, it will not happen. Yadrishi bhavana yasya siddhir bhavati tadrishi. There are other in the Gita, Krishna speaks about what you're fixed at the time of death. That's where you will ultimately go, no? But this is something else. This concept is while you perform your sadhana, that type of thought which you have will bring you. Therefore, in spiritual life, you will find so many destinations. Even in our movement, there are devotees with so many, there are possibilities, you know. So many possibilities. For instance, when you think, let me not go so much in the detail here. So, Gop Kumar did not know until much later about the Lord of the Mantra, which was Madan Gopal. And therefore, he went everywhere else than Vrindavan. Only much later, the deity appeared to him in a spurti, and he experienced the embrace of his sweet Madan Gopal. And then he knew, that's the personality I want to reach. And his world I want to reach, where the rivers are there, where there are desire trees, where there are the gopis, etc. Ah, now I know. Now I also know why I was in my heart so discontent, although I had reached before that so many wonderful spiritual destinations. This discontent came to an eruption, and here I will talk a little on one episode from Gop Kumar's exemplary life in Dvaraka. He went to see the Lord of Dvaraka in the spiritual world, and he looked at him with thirsty eyes, eyes like bees. He looked at Krishna, and sometimes he saw how his Lord had four hands. Sometimes, my dear devotees, he saw the Lord leaving the throne. Gop Kumar feasted his eyes in the Lord, in the beauty of the Lord. But still, in Dvaraka, Krishna never had a flute. And that made Gop Kumar very, very sad, because throughout his spiritual journey, he had not given up his style. You know, the way he dressed, turban, dhoti, chada, and a small little flute like the cowherd boys in Vrindavan have. He had felt a strange fascination with his style, you know, with his dressing style and all this. So he missed the flute at the Lords of Dvaraka's hand, but he didn't. It was not so clear to him. And there was one devotee. So every day, Gop Kumar wanted to go to Krishna in Dvaraka and say, "My Lord, I'm leaving. My spiritual journey is not fulfilled." But somehow, whenever he saw the Lord, he forgot about his desire to move on. He forgot about it. Now there was one devotee in the crowd who closely watched him. A great devotee, Mahapurusha. It was Narada Muni, who knows the mind of everyone just by looking at them. So one day Narada Muni comes to Gop Kumar when the audience is over and they all leave the audience hall of Krishna and Dvaraka. And he said, "How strange that you are discontent even here." These are very personal words. Gop Kumar must have looked at Narada Muni in wonder. And then Narada Muni chuckled and said, "This is how the devotees of Madan Gopal are. They are only satisfied with Madan Gopal." He said like this, don't worry. He said, "I can't talk about this here. You have not heard anything? You have not heard anything? Just come with me. Let's go in the house of Uddhava. There is a safe environment to talk about Vrindavan. Here everyone is into Dvaraka and Dvaraka Bhakti. And they will become disturbed if they overhear me talking about the special sweetness of Vrindavan Dham and Madan Gopal. Come." So Gop Kumar follows Narada Muni and begins to hope that Narada Muni can address and solve his problem of constant discontent, even though being in very exalted spiritual places. So he brings them to the house of Uddhava. Why Uddhava? I think many of you have heard this part of the narration. Uddhava had been in Vrindavan and he had seen the extraordinary prema of the residents of Vrindavan, and he had actually become converted from a Jnani Bhakti, Bhakta, an intellectually minded devotee, to a Premi Bhakta. And he could never forget the tears of love of Radharani and what he had seen in Vrindavan. So there Narada reveals the glories of Goloka, and he, the eternal Goloka Vrindavan, and how it descends to the planet Earth. Gop Kumar is highly intrigued by his description, because on his journey to higher, to progressively higher destinations, he had from time to time returned to the earthly Vrindavan and had seen that there was always Yamuna and there was always Govardhan, although universal time had passed, you know. But this Vrindavan had remained the same, the Vrindavan which he saw through the eyes of his Vava, no? Of his the way he felt. But he was born there, you know. Krishna. So it had always been the same, and Gop Kumar is now hearing from Narada Muni that this is actually the replica. It's actually not only a normal replica, it's Goloka Vrindavan that descends into the world. It comes down here. Then Narada Muni goes on to explain Gop Kumar, there in this Vrindavan, the Lord enacts extraordinary pastimes that are completely different from any other pastimes in any other incarnation. And you know what, Gop Kumar? He is so beautiful, so absolutely supernatural beautiful, like you have not seen it in nature, that even birds, cows, and what to speak of the bushes and creepers, are totally captivated by Krishna's beauty when Krishna passes by. All these bushes, all these birds and so on, they respond to Krishna's beauty with a flood of tears. They have horripilation. Do you know what horripilation is? Their hairs stand on end and cannot be brought down again. Krishna there is his personality is also very different. He's extremely naughty, he steals and lies like anything. But then on the other side, he's so gentle in his behavior. It's really beyond all categories. And in his pastimes, Narada Muni Gop Kumar is electrified and listens to him. I will just tell you three pastimes. When he was a small shishu, shishu means very small boy. Shishu, you can hear by the sound. Shishu, you know, very shishu, small shishu. Mm-mm. He showed the power of his lips, only lips, not hands, not arms, not legs, not belly, by sucking out the life airs of a monster that was 16 kilometers in size. Small shishu, 16 kilometers. He didn't use any power only other than his lips. Then the Lord is so amazing when he was kidnapped by the demon Trinavata, who came as a whirlwind, by his hands alone. He didn't give him kicks or knock him with his forehead like it's done in America, you know, and so on. He brought him down, and the best, Gop Kumar is already, is totally electrified. When Indra, Gop Kumar by now is near fainting stage. Listen to the end, says Narada Muni. When Indra began to send his Samvartaka clouds and his flashes and lightning to exterminate all of Vrindavan, what did little Krishna do? He ran to the Govardhan hill. He quickly, a tunnel appeared. He went into the tunnel. And then he, in the middle of the Govardhan hill, he comes out and with the pinky, that's the small, good-for-nothing finger. I mean, it's good for flute playing, but it's... he lifted Govardhan and held it for 7 days and nights, non-stop. Who does this? Only Krishna. That's where you want to go. You want to join that Lord, the Lord of love. That is where you need to go. And I will give you now, says Narada Muni, three, let me see that I get this right, four instructions how to get there. Now, my dear devotees, these are instructions how to go to Goloka Vrindavan. When we hear, we should be captivated how to about the possibility to go back to Godhead. You all said Hari Bol, no? Did you say? Normally you say Hari Bol when you hear this, such things. And now comes how. So keep with your interest, please, and listen as if your spiritual life is dependent on this. The first instruction, and I find it so revolutionary and beautiful, that when I heard this, I said, I have to change my life. I'm going to do this now. When Narada Muni says, give up all fear. I think that we all like, we are giving up fear. I don't want to be ruled by an alien invader, you know, the fear, no? Give up awe and shyness in regards to Krishna, and also disbelief, and consider Krishna as your true friend in a practical sense. This is was for me the reason why I joined Krishna consciousness. I read when I was not in Krishna consciousness the peace formula where it said Krishna is the friend of all how is it in the fifth chapter of the Gita, last verse. Do we remember the verse? Bhuktaram yakya tapasan savaloka maheshwaram. Now it comes. Suridam savabhutanam. Suridam means, Bhakti Charu Maharaj explained to me, surid is what you Western people would call a bosom friend. That's an old word which I have not heard you saying much. It means a friend of whom you think in your heart. You know, he's always there in your heart. It's very rare to find such a friend in this world who's with you through thick and thin. He is in your heart and you are in his heart. True friends live in each other's heart. That's a surit, you know. And here this appears again. He's not the God we should fear because he is shrouded with a plethora, which means with many rules and regulations before you can even think of him. No, he's a surit. He's a friend, very close. The word which Sanatana Goswami says, like a friend of this world, a good friend of this world, loka bandhu something. I forgot exactly the Sanskrit word, but we have read this translation. Think of him as a friend in a practical sense. Do you have a friend? What do you do when you are with your friend, if I may know? I know Parikshit is your good friend. What do you do? Talk about everything or partially only? Almost everything, yes. We talk about secrets which we have. When we see him, we might give a present to the friend. When he has a marriage, we feel a compulsion to attend his marriage because it's important for him. When he dies, we will walk with him to the crematorium. Yes, no, I'm quoting various things. This is from Chanakya Pandit. A good friend is with you even when you are in the court of the king. That means everyone is against you. Everyone thinks you are a criminal. You have been cited before the king, who will now decide about your life or your death. The good friend is next to you and comes with you and is never giving you up. He's always with you. So, therefore, in a practical sense, Krishna is always with you. How often do you think like this? How often do you think before there's anything nice, let me share this with my friend. Let him also get. This is how the cultivation of Braj Bhakti starts. Not a distant God, like the God of the Vaidhi Bhaktas, those who only know rules and rules and rules, and if I don't keep the rules, I will be hated. Not a distant God, my dear everyone. A very close God. Do you like this idea? I think it's so appealing, isn't it? That's why I left Christianity. Yeah, I was a good Christian boy. When you should have seen me. I was so handsome. I had a Christian dress, and when someone would marry, I was the most beautiful young boy in town. I would be ordered to come, and I would go before the marriage groom, and I would throw flowers. Little did I know that I will go the other way. But yes, and I was invested in this. When I joined the Krishna consciousness movement, for the first year I felt a deep sense of guilt, because I felt Jesus had died for my sins on the cross, and I'm just leaving him to dance on the streets. I thought how irresponsible I have become. But then I heard, this is because God in Christianity. Also, I heard, and then I read in Sufi literature, I also didn't feel this closeness. This closeness, my dear devotees, God can be close to you. You can be all, like we had the seminar, remember Bhujan Prabhu's excellent seminar, Alone with Krishna. And in our group, we spoke, what did you think when you hear this Alone with Krishna? You had to go to the Govardhan and stay alone, no one next to you, no talk, no. What was it called? A telephone detoxification. We could not telephone. Many of us felt scared. Alone. But when you are with your best friend, you only want to be alone. You don't want to be with these people with the loud mouths, the empty thoughts. You want to be alone with your best friend. You crave for that time. You crave hanker, That is, think of him in a practical sense as a true friend. This is the first sadhana for Gop Kumar. What could it mean? When he gets up, he thinks of Krishna. He makes his life in a Krishna conscious way. The next point, do you want to hear more? Or is this already? Good. Meditate on the pastimes of the Lord and Braj together with his associates. I thought we should just do this for a moment. We will sing just a Hare Krishna tune, and then I will read to you. This is called a text meditation. You will not need to close your eyes or levitate or anything for this meditation. I'm joking. But I will read something to you, and you will envision what you read. No? Good. We will just chant a little to purify the mirror of our heart, and we hope that something appears on that mirror. So. Prahlad, are you actually ready? Or we will chant a different Naam Kirtan today. We will chant the Naam Kirtan which Gop Kumar was singing on his way to Vrindavan. Would you like to sing that?
Yes. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda.
No, I will. It's sung also responsively. I will give you the sign.
Govinda Henanda Kishora Krishna.
Please join.
Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda. Govinda. Yashoda Krishna,
Shri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda, Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Ballavi Jivana Radhikesha. Shri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Ballavi Jivana Radhikesha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare
Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan. He's dressed like a dancer. On his crown, on the top, he wears a peacock feather and sometimes many. There are yellow and blue Karnikara flowers in Vrindavan. They are shaped like trumpets. Woo! He wears them over one ear and sometimes puts them on the other. You are supposed, as you hear this, to let images appear on your in your mind, no? It's the time for very active listening now. There's a garland of at least 5 types of flowers. And Krishna always carries his dearmost possession with him. It's a possession that he rarely lets go, and even when he goes to sleep, he might put it under his cushion or it rests in his hand. It's his flute. Krishna filled the flute with the nectar from his lips. He blocked the holes with his fingers as appropriate to the melody. And the nectar of his flute song brought life to even lifeless pieces of woods. A tree started to dance. They're not lifeless, but even lifeless pieces of wood, which and then he drives the three worlds mad, especially the gopis. Vrindavan has been called the pleasure garden of Krishna's feet, because it is here where Krishna walks, runs, skips, dances, anything you do with the feet, but barefoot, because he likes the touch of the Brajaraj. Devotees and mystics who meditate about Vrindavan Krishna, demigods who come close on their vimanas, hear that flute sound first from the distance. It's very soft, no? But as they come closer and tune or listen carefully to the flute sound, they become bewildered by a feeling they have not known before. It's divine love, my dear devotees, divine love. And what do they say? The mystics say, now we can no longer be certain whether the Brahman we know is the absolute truth, or perhaps the sound of the flute is the absolute truth. We don't know. We are bewildered. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So this is Narada Muni tells Gop Kumar about the pastimes in the Lord together with his associates, and tells him you must meditate about it. Now, as he is talking about a few pastimes, he comes to a pastime that totally throws him off his tracks. He can't continue his line of talking. He says the sport that the son of Yashoda enjoyed in the lake of Kaliya disturbs me so much with both sorrow and joy that I can't bear to remember it. How can I then tell it to you? You know, Narada Muni sees Krishna in the embrace of Kaliya like as if he is lifeless, the victim of a python or a monster snake, and he can't talk about it. But then he sees a moment later, Krishna tells Kaliya, now you have shown me your strengths. Let me show you now some of my strengths. Boom! And gets rid of it. And what does he do? He starts to dance on the feet. That is very so joyful, no? When you start to dance on the snakes of a multi-headed serpent,
That shows you are full of joy.
Then Narada Muni makes a third point. So what do we have now? How should we think of Krishna? Practical friend, yes. What should we meditate about? Yeah. Now he brings the point of practice. For this, to think of Krishna daily as a practical friend, and to think of him non-stop, that doesn't come so easy. My dear devotees, it comes when the mind is pure. The pure mind thinks of pure things, like nature, perhaps sattvic things, and an impure mind may think of whiskey and the pub life in King's Square in Sydney.
This is a pure mind. And he says something very important. You can make your devotional life pure and brilliant by one practice, which I think you all,
I want to ask you the question, what one practice can make your devotional life brilliant? It means bring it to life. Chanting the names of the Lord, yes. And my dear devotees, that if you can start perhaps here, as you walk through life, sing. I remember once I was in an airport and we were there for the security check, and I came from a kirtan mela, and I wanted to learn this melody which I couldn't get exactly, and I was practicing singing it, and the man before me turned around, and I thought by my improper attempts to sing the melody I must have disturbed him, but he smiled and said to me, "What is life without a song, isn't it?" I said, yes, but this is so difficult to learn the melody. And then, can I sing it to you one more time? And then I sing it very, very audible, Hare Krishna. I think I chose a melody I knew so that I wouldn't disturb him. Yes. This, my dear devotees, try to sing, not just when there is kirtan, to sing through the day. Yes, this will make everything brilliant, put everything to life. No? Then you will be able to think of Krishna as your friend and also of his pastimes in Vrindavan. And the kirtan which he sings is really this one. Please, let's immediately sing this. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda Hare Nanda Kishora Krishna Ha Shri Yashoda.
Yes.
This is Sri Krishna Gopal. Gopal, who's Gopal? He goes for cow herding pastimes. Many cows before him. Hare, he steals actually the composure of the Brajabasis especially. Yes. And he steals also the sins from his devotees. And that's why he's known as Mukunda, he who liberates the devotees. Govinda, then He Nanda Kishora, it's the beautiful young boy of Nanda, Krishna. And then
Shri Yashoda Tanaya, comes from the body of Yashoda. You know, she's the son of Yashoda. And Shri Ballavi Jivani Radhikesha, he is the life force, the Jivan, of all the gopis, especially one gopi, Radhika, and in this way his name is Radhikesha, the Lord of Radhika, Radhanath, Radhikanath, you know, and so Radhikesha. So the Hare Krishna mantra. But then he makes the point which we heard yesterday. Ultimately, to go to Krishna alone, one text says, through sadhana, it's like trying to climb to heavens by using the rain, pouring rain as a means. Have you ever tried to most of you have not so strong arms that they can even think of trying, but if you have and can climb a rope like this with your arms only, if you go, but will you be able to reach heavens by climbing the downstreaming rain? No. You can't go to Krishna by the ascending practice. Not even by much sadhana can the Lord be reached. It is only through his mercy, yes. And yesterday we distinguished, Sanatana Goswami, distinguished between two ways of mercy. One was the direct mercy, which comes, and the other is sadhana. Do you remember the example of Sanatana Goswami for direct mercy? Yeah, when a generous donor gives you the whole meal, pom, take this. And the second, the mercy, which is still mercy, it's only mercy. It's not, your sadhana is not causing this. You have obtained your sadhana. Krishna is the cause. You have been made fortunate by knowing how to chant and so on. But the second is where you get from the same generous donor, Krishna, the means and ingredients, that is the devotional sadhana, which is like going to a rich man and he gives you vegetables, ghee, pots, and everything you need to make a delicious, nourishing meal. No? Mercy. But don't... I go back to this again. Fourth is... And this is the last. I know when we hear an enumeration of points, we begin to become restless. Just please listen to this last point. Reside in Braja with Dainya. Live in Vrindavan with humility. Have you ever seen? I had a god brother who made a little mistake, innocent perhaps, but fatal to his spiritual life. Almost fatal. He almost lost his spiritual life. He's back in the best shape. But he told me with tears in his eyes, he had gone to Krishna Balaram temple on a rickshaw, a pedaled rickshaw, you know where the rickshaw driver pedals. And then the rickshaw driver wanted to have not 75 rupees, as was agreed at the point of departure where the rickshaw journey started, but he wanted to have 100 rupees. So my godbrother was, perhaps had eaten a little bit more chili than usual. He became so agitated, he started to first negotiate, but he didn't know the language and the And then he just lost his temper and he just was beating the rickshaw driver in the face, just an open-handed slap. Immediately after he did this, he noticed that this is not humility, this is not appropriate behavior, and he paid his obeisances. But the rickshaw driver didn't even look at him. He put out a 100-rupee note and added 2 other 100-rupee notes. The rickshaw driver made just a movement like this. He wouldn't accept it. He said, he cried and begged, and the rickshaw driver turned his back and looked for a next customer. For 10 years he couldn't return to Vrindavan. 10 long years. 10 years of mistakes. 10 years of heartburn. 10 years of disappointment. 10 years of ill health until it was over and he could return. So, reside in Braj with Dainya. That's the key, you know. That's the key for staying in Vrindavan. And only with this Dainya will Vrindavan's beauty, its nature, reveal itself to you. No? Only then. Narada concludes, prema is difficult to describe. Only if you would meet the divine goddess Sri Radhika, then you see prema in person. And if she speaks to you about prema, you might understand what the truth about prema is. And then he makes a little, I think, a commentary. It's in the commentary of Sanatana Goswami. Or if you should meet a full incarnation of Sri Krishna Chandra and watch him and hear from him. Can you imagine to what incarnation of Krishna Chandra Sanatana is referring? Gauranga. So, prema is difficult. I read in our Giriraj Maharaj's excellently written book, Dancing White Elephants. The devotees had been served a meal and then they ate something that tasted like chicken. So they were paled. They went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, we have broken the regulative principles. And Prabhupada said, no, that was jackfruit. And then Prabhupada narrated that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used the jackfruit as an example to explain how unexplainable prema is. He said, you want to explain prema to someone, the rasa dance to someone, it's like trying to explain the taste of jackfruit by saying it tastes like sugarcane juice poured through the bird, someone's bird. Yeah, how does that taste, you know? Now I don't know more with this example than I knew before. So yeah, this is the conclusion. So what Gop Kumar did, and now again, 3 points only, you can do it. You are Hare Krishna devotees, the best, no? Of all spiritualists. Hare Krishna. I think you're used to me by now. So, he sang the holy names most dear to me. He sang this particular kirtan. If you want to get this kirtan, Prahlad will leave it on the screen. You can make a screenshot with your mobile telephone and sing it for maximum benefit. So he sang all the time. He went everywhere. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda Nanda Kishore Krishna Hare Yashoda Yashoda Siddha Sri Vallabhi. The second thing he did is he went and saw the many places of Krishna's pastimes and sang about them. There is a little detail in the purport. He sang in a long, drawn-out voice. Krishna, in other words, does not appreciate only Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Long Hare Krishna. You know, long is also there, sweetly and loudly is also there. Different styles, there's not one style. But so he went and saw the many places of Krishna's pastime, and he sang about them. That means he sang songs like Yasho Martin. I don't imagine he sang that, because that was composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But some song like this, where Krishna's pastimes like, hey Rasikya, oh you who know to taste, listen to this, to Krishna. He's the best doctor who can cure us from the disease of repeated birth and death. Such things he sang. And the third is he focused his mind on the associates of Krishna and how they have loving dealings with Krishna. And he meditated on them. My dear devotees, when you hear how the devotees exchange love with Krishna, how Krishna loves the devotees, how Radha loves the devotees, and how your heart gets courage on encourage and encouragement, no? It begins to feel, oh yes, this is a little loving Lord. When we hear in the same narration, I don't want to say it in detail, because I assume that Jagatarini will tell us in the required detail, but how Krishna was so happy to see Gop Kumar after his long journey, how he embraced him and how he was emotionally so much stirred up that he couldn't keep his composure and fell on the ground. We think, wow. You know, hearing about the Lord and his dealings with the associates are very good. Good. Hare Krishna. This is what I wanted to say. I hope it was good. Good is, I can't say it was, I hope it was interesting. My dear devotees, if you want to go back to Godhead, don't think, oh, I'm a member of ISKCON, it will happen because I'm by my membership, you know. It will happen by your mind. Devotee thinks is the mind, what you have in your mind. So here is a good sadhana, which is given in this book. It's a very important section of the book, because it tells us how to realize our secret dreams, no? To be back with Krishna. Hare Krishna. So how can you form a practice out of it? I would just suggest to you simple things. Sing the holy names also outside of the kirtan times. Start there. By now we have so much recorded kirtans. Ooh, good kirtans we have. And you know, hear about Krishna, read in the books. Perhaps when you are at home, put pictures of Radha and Krishna up. Many homes of older devotees I have visited, with my own eyes I have seen many pictures of Radha and Krishna. In holy places of Vrindavan I have seen, Govardhan and so on. That's easy, but please don't think, oh, I have now a photo, the photo will save me. it's always your mind, and you have to train your mind, no? So start with this, go to the holy and think of Krishna's pastimes, and then, you know, read appropriate books about Krishna. Or listen to these wonderful katas. We have wonderful katas, Jagatarini, each year. Jagatarini makes wonderful katas, wonderful, with proper pronunciation. We call it dramatic reading because it becomes very engaging and involving. At least that's how we called it in the many years ago. Maybe that's an old term, I don't know. And so there are of many good Krishna katas are there. And Bhujan Prabhu has given, and what to speak, why look only in the Govardhan Retreat Center? We are not the only ones. There are many very good Krishna katas we can listen for our edification. And after hearing a lot, you will start to think about it. I, for instance, know about football because I've heard about it. I know about Messi. I know about Ricciardo or Rinaldo, because I have heard from reliable English sources about them, and I can tell you many things about habits of these football players. I can tell you how much money they get. I have heard many things, but I won't. It's not so important. I have this mind which can suck up every information very quickly and not forget it. Unfortunately, also the useless information. But I'm making a point. Hearing, then you will remember. Hare Krishna. Good. Can I now ask you? My wristwatch has stopped. What is the time now, please? 5:35. When did we start? 3:30. 4 o'clock. So we have perhaps, we have a little bit more time if there are any questions. 5:35, you said? Good. Yes. Any questions? I see one hand. It's Gaur Govinda, as far as I can recognize you. We have a microphone for you. I see one Mataji in the back. Let me see. I don't know. I can't see so far. This glass is useless. Your glass is there. Yes, you. Mm-hmm. Good. Let's start with these two.
Hare Krishna. It seems that Gop Kumar has, from the very beginning, been endowed by the affection towards Vrindavan and simple mood of Vrindavan. And then he received the mantra which would enhance that. And I was wondering, how is this relatable to us? And what does it mean in our case on this journey, this initial investment that almost he was a resident of Vrindavan and naturally drawn to it?
I will say a very hard-to-swallow pill now. In answer to your question, Gop Kumar brought a few qualifications with him that we don't have. We are not born in Vrindavan. But beyond that, he quickly developed renunciation from worldly things. That the first chapter, therefore, in Brihadbhagavatamrita is called renunciation. He was, remember, He was quickly made the king of Mathura. He was made the king of Puri. Remember? He went to the heavenly planets. Later he was he offered, we will hear from Jagatarini about his details, but he, even in the heavenly planets, he slept on the ground and was only interested in worshipping the Lord there. He had this renunciation, this detachment. And it is very, Prabhupada says in the second canto, an easygoing life and advancement of Krishna consciousness go ill together. He takes that, he says that maybe there is this Mataji with the computer, the one who gave me the computer. Easygoing life and advancement in the second canto. We want to hear that directly from Prabhupada. It goes ill together. And therefore we find, I'm saying this not to torture you, the first chapter is called renunciation. There are different forms of renunciation. There is false renunciation, that is outwardly your renunciation, your renouncing. You call yourself a dasa and you surround yourself. There's like a Falgu River, you know. Outside there's one thing going on. The Falgu River, I think, is dry land, and inside there is, I will say this in a moment. Please stay here in case this gives up its life force. The different forms of renunciation. I wanted to talk about this earlier and have made notes, but what I remember is there's this brief renunciations, smashana vairagya, which you feel at the time of when someone near and dear has died, and you feel really, wow, material life is misery, I got it, and you renounce for a little while. It's short-lived renunciation. There's Markata renunciation, like the monkeys in the forest. They look, they don't even have an underwear. You know, very, very, and so on. We would even laugh if we would see a monkey with an underwear. It would be so atypical, you know, because outwardly he has nothing, you know. But, he has many friends, girlfriends, you know. And they have, I have not studied, but I think they have a wild life, you know, wild party life, you know, going on in the forests. There are these forms of renunciation, and then there is the one which we can practice, and if you understand it, you will lose your fear when you hear the word renunciation. It's yukta vairagya. You use the things which you use in Krishna's service. That means you have to make up your mind that I want to be a Krishna das. That is what I want. I want my identity to be a Krishna das. You know, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, do not think that na alpakari nama niha dasahena nama. Do not think that servant implies insignificance. Oh, the servant, insignificant. The Lord, here it is. First one attains liberation, then his material bondage is destroyed. And then he becomes the servant of Lord Krishna. It's a good text to read. I therefore want to give you the quotation, you know. Servant is not insignificant. It's a liberated position where material bondage is not there. And then he can become a servant of Krishna. Read this for your own edification. Chaitanya Bhagavat 2:17, 105-106. No? A servant means something. But you will see, it's so logical. If you think, I'm a servant of Krishna, then you will put the servants to Krishna over you. You will fly in airplanes because you have service to do in the Govardhan Retreat Center. Did you know that hearing, chanting, and remembering are the three first items of devotional service? Have you ever thought? It doesn't just mean to use the hands, that's pada sevanam, you know, that's to do something practical. You do what you do, you have a, this is a first class jacket, by the way. It's so warm and good. I mean, I don't think this is $1 million worth. It's not, it's a normal price for a jacket, but it's so good. But yeah, I'm trying to see my life as a servant. I want to do my service here and don't get so sick that I can't do anything any longer. In other words, first make up your mind that you will be a servant of Krishna, and then you can serve Krishna with, in my mind, the only real form of renunciation that is possible in this life, in this day and age. Yukta Vairagya. Vairagya means renunciation. Vairagya is an interesting word. Raga means attachment, but it means also to color something. Prahlad, give me this red pot there. The material world... I made a mistake. Give me this yellow pot, please. It is... The material world looks highly attractive, like this multicolored pot, no? Oh, there are dots, there are lines, it looks like a mixture of a pumpkin and a planet and an extraterrestrial if you turn it this way. So the world is full of attractive colors, which attract our attention. Vairagya means take the color out, discolor it. Men like to look at beautiful ladies. Ladies like to look at beautiful men, no? We are human beings, no? No, we don't talk about this, Maharaj. Discoloring. The lady is like a mother. If this doesn't work, see her, she was a shishu, playing like a little girl in the dust. You know, change. Take the color. It's a soul in a body that grows from shishu to old age. No? Men, beautiful men. Discolor your illusory projections about them. Take the color out and see them for what they are. Rukmini does this. No? Remember how she discolors the men? She sees them as material body filled with the material organs and everything else. She's very graphic about it. Yes. So this color, Vairagya, take the color out of the world. Now, Yukta Vairagya means connected renunciation. You take away the possessiveness that this is mine and I will enjoy, but you use it for something higher that is your ultimate goal. And once you learn this, you can use the mobile telephone, the newest model, Apple 2011 or whatever they are called, you know, and so on, and do this, but make sure that you discolor it. As long as you color it with your imagination and your hopes that this will solve your underlying discontent that you carry wherever you go, even if you distract yourself like anything, this discontent remains there as something, that as a fire that has not been extinguished. No, use the things in Krishna's service. Use your body in Krishna's service, your good intelligence in Krishna's service, your voice in Krishna's service, your mind in Krishna's service, and you will see how you do not just discolor the world and make it pale. You all of a sudden a golden color descends, and it becomes brilliant. Everything becomes brilliant. Your practice becomes brilliant. Your life becomes brilliant. Everything becomes brilliant in your life. Yeah. Not just discolor. Yukta. It's not just vairagya. It's yukta vairagya, connected with Krishna. That was Gop Kumar's good thing. He was not in illusion about material pleasures. He didn't run west while trying to go east. Many of us still run west while trying to go east. That's an expression of we find in Madhurya Kadambini. And you look at me like so many good devotees have always looked at when they hear this point. Yes, yes, yes. So true. I can understand. But what do I do with my human nature? Krishna loves you anyways when you try. Therefore, don't stop thinking of him as your practical friend. He doesn't like sinful things that we do. That is not what I'm saying. But we all have our human natures. And to just live in a culture of concealment, this happens in spiritual movements, at least in the language, it is there. It doesn't help. You have to address the problem, and you have to purify the heart. Chanting. It all comes to the chanting. I think this is what we even hear in a highly elevated text. By Sankirtan, all the devotional services become brilliant. Hare Krishna. We have, by the way, a Sankirtan on the free day from 4 to 8. We will again invite Amala Harinam. I do not know if... Have you... Yes? Coming. Amala Harinam and some other devotees, perhaps from Vrindavan, who assist so nicely. Yeah, so good. Add light to your life, then the darkness will go. Don't try to go with to bring the darkness, you know, attachments. I mean, that alone, you have to try, but bring light, as much light as possible, and the darkness will go. I'm not saying it philosophically or conceptually. I'm saying it because I'm now an old man. I'm in the autumn of my life, not yet the winter, but it comes there. So I know it works. Most light, bring light in your thoughts as much as you can. So there's another question. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit long-winded. I will now be short-winded.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much that we have this opportunity to have your association today through your state of health. Thank you very much. And my question, I wanted to ask you, because in the lecture you said that it's very important that we know where we go and what we want to reach. And during the last retreat and this retreat, we spoke about the poor heart. And I wanted to ask you if it's possible to maybe to explain what does it mean to have poor heart, or how can we understand, or how can we see that our heart will be more poor? Thank you very much.
Pure heart. Well, there are two things which are necessary. The awareness of the goal. That's why, you know, this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Prabhupada wrote so endorsingly about it that he says anyone who wants to know about devotees, devotional service, and so on, he must read this book, because it was written as the last, in his ripe, mature old age by Sanatana Goswami, and totally atypical for a writer of Sanskrit literature. He provided the commentaries to his own work. It's usually done by others. But he wanted it, he felt an urgency to say, this is the goal. The goal of where Gop Kumar's journey ends up, so to say. So that's about the first point. And then about purity of the heart. My mind is a little in butter here. This is about the goal. It says, Yadrishi bhavana yasya siddhya bhavati tadrishi. The type of perfection one attains depends on the bhavana or thoughts one has while engaged in spiritual practice. No? Good. That's the first thing. Pure heart means also pure mind. My dear devotees, with a lot of urgency in my heart and voice, I want to reach you now with a point that has become very clear to me. We never interact with the world as it is. We never interact with the philosophy, or we rarely, rarely interact with the philosophy as it is. We always interact with our mind perceives the world, people, and so on. We always interact with how our minds do understand the philosophy. That's how there can be discussion. That's why there are various, sometimes even heated discussions by devotees on a philosophical point. They talk about their understanding. The truth may be way beyond this. It may even include what in this world we call paradoxes. We always are dependent on this one invisible guy between our ears, the mind. Therefore, it is to be a devotee means manmana, and it continues bhava mat bhakto. Manmana, think of me with your mind, then bhava, develop the thoughts, the feelings of a devotee. This is what needs to be done here. The world is the world. And according to our mind, our mental states, we will perceive it like this or like that. For a saint, Chanakya Pandit writes a verse, but it is so blunt that I don't want to say it at the end of my lecture, where he says how much we see how different people with different mindsets perceive the same object. No? So therefore we must purify our mind, my dear devotees. We must work with this. We must purify him by letting the Son of Krishna rise, and then it's purified. It became so clear to me, my dear devotees, I'm very unimportant here, but I'm only one person who sees only things from one viewpoint. But this point, we see all with the mind. I could tell you a few examples from my Vrindavan stay, but I do not wish to talk about devotees and publicly, you know. I've seen... When the child loses a toy, it cries, and the grown-up person will say, "We will get you a new toy, don't cry." When the grown-up person loses his car or his watch, he cries, and the saint may say to him, "Don't cry, it's only a car and a watch." We always are caught in our mind from childhood to grown up, a person sin, and to purify the mind, that's where the practice takes place. Once Prabhupada gave us a way to measure our own advancement. He said, see in your heart how much lust is there. That's one of the difference. It's not the only one. He said many things about this. Becoming attached to Krishna, becoming attached to the holy name, and so on. Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji. I will now look at the wristwatch. Yes, we are exactly at 6 o'clock. I will end my... presentation here. I thank you so much that you are allowing me to speak to you on these very important subjects, and please excuse me, today I was a little bit the mind was tomorrow I'm hope to be fully healthy again. So please I want to remind you, please come to the class of Jagatarini, which is scheduled to start at 7 o'clock. If you can't make it because 7, I found out yesterday, 7:10 is, but 7:10 you need to be in the room, because what Jagatarini will talk about is all the things which I dropped from my presentation, so to not be repetitive. And it's very important for this retreat to listen to this. You will get a very good idea about the ultimate goal and how to reach it. Hare Krishna. That worked well. I mean, with the projection, no? Simple, no?
Yes, Mandaleshwari.
Is there something which I can do?